Tune in.
Hello.
Well, hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Long time no speak.
I know, right?
Hey, listen, first of all, I just want to welcome you on to the Tony G Show. I appreciate you taking your time out of your busy day to come on with us and chat with us for a little bit.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So real quick, I just want to let the listeners know how we met. Basically, you're friends with our daughter, right?
Yep.
And you live in Chicago.
I do.
And you flew out here to visit our beautiful daughter, and you happened to come to our house.
On Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day.
I did.
And we fell in love with you.
Yes, we did.
And then we fell in love with you.
Yeah, and your beautiful wife. Yes.
And your beautiful wife. And you are part of the G family now.
Oh, I love the G family.
So go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do, and
starting with your name, because Tony did not introduce you.
Oh, my bad.
That is okay, Tony. I got you.
All right.
I'm Nooper Shaw, but also recently Nooper G, apparently.
Yes.
Changed that last name. I'm a queer and trans therapist in Chicago. I primarily work within community, so I primarily work with trans, gender nonconforming, queer, people of color. So that's, I guess, like a little blip about me. I'm married to my wife. We have two cats. We'll hopefully have some kids in the future.
Whee!
But currently just currently living vicariously through your daughter and her kids. and loving them. And yeah, that's like a little blip about me.
Yeah, absolutely. So get into your your work, your profession a little bit more. How did you get into that, and what made you choose that field?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
So where to start? I guess like when I was 15, so like 12, wow, that's gross. But 12 years ago, I first started feeling different, quote unquote. I was like not really conforming to the heteronormative societal expectation in the city that I was living in. I lived in a predominantly white conservative neighborhood and city. And so I always felt different because of my race, but then I was starting to recognize feeling different for a different reason. Like, I didn't have a boyfriend. I wasn't like feeling attracted to who I should be, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started exploring like what my sexuality was, and that kind of like that exploration manifested into some of like the darkest times in my life, where I was not being accepted, nor was I fully understanding myself or being understood by others.
Sure.
So I kind of got into this, you know, depression phase. Mm-hmm. I was experiencing suicidal ideation. I found myself in an inpatient program at the age of 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember meeting my therapist, one of the first therapists I've ever had in my life. And I, at first, of course, as any adolescent is, I was resistant. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, you're not my mom.
Right.
You know, but eventually over time, I just felt like really validated by this person and felt like I could actually like have autonomy around my narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And who I am. And honestly, she's the reason I was like, in that moment, I was like, I want to be a therapist. Like that kind of clicked in my adolescence. I was like, I want to do what she's doing for people like me.
Yeah.
And now I am doing that.
That is awesome.
That's really cool.
Shout out to that therapist, man, for real.
Agreed. Kathy, wherever you're at, you're the best.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what an influence. That's amazing.
Yes. That story.
Yeah, beautiful story.
Thank you
for sharing. Yeah.
Oh my God, of course. Of course, mom and dad. Why wouldn't I?
So if you don't mind, and of course, you know, like this space is intended, and I've always said for it's a safe space, and you say what you want to say and you say what you don't want to say. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
feel comfortable with whatever you want to share with the listeners.
Or not share.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, and you know, man, we love you to death. Like, we just, it was so cool how we met. This is what I love about life.
Yes.
Honestly, it's like,
yes,
you meet people that you never in the, you know, wildest dreams think that you're going to meet, and you come across. And I love to hear people's stories and where they come from and what they're about. It just amazes me how everybody's an individual and everybody has their own paths and everybody's been through trials and tribulations. And, you know, we meet in a time of this life that we have. We're not here very long, right?
Yeah.
And why do we cross paths? Why does that shit happen? And I just, that amazes me. It's like, right.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful.
To even go back and think like how you and Angel connected, and we don't have to share. Nobody wants to share.
Oh, we can.
But that is bizarre and amazing that you guys even connected and stayed in contact, and then you came and visited. Like,
literally. I know. It's actually really wild. I mean, I dated this person, we won't name names, okay, and I was 19 years old or 20, like this was 8 years ago.
Okay.
And then Angel dated the same person. I think she was the next victim, if I'm not mistaken. And somehow all of this neutral, or this person that we both dated, all their friends gravitated towards me and Angel.
Yeah.
And so like, these people became my family,
yeah,
and Angel's family. But then me and Angel didn't know each other quite yet, until we kind of were introduced via these friends.
Yes.
Who eventually were not friends with our ex anymore. So like, integrated into our own chosen family.
Yes.
And I was like, shit.
Yeah.
Angel got fucked over like in the same exact way that I did. And we're great people. Like, this is,
exactly.
This is rude. And I feel like it's honestly so serendipitous and an honor to like get to know Angel, because she's honestly one of the greatest people ever, which of course, because you are her parents.
Oh, thank you.
But like, we just had so much in common, and also we were able to understand each other in a way that I don't, like, no one else was, because we both experienced a really impactful, negatively impactful relationship. But we also got this like beautiful chosen family created through it.
Yes. Things happen for a reason. Yeah,
it does. It's so wild to think that like when I was 20, 21, 22, I became friends with all these people, and now I'm 27, and like, the second time I'm meeting Angel. But I just think it's funny, when Malia was born, and on a whim, Angel's like, yeah, I'm going to be in Chicago. Can I stay at your place? And I'm like, this is weird. Like, yes, absolutely. You have a baby too? Great. Please come over. And like, it has blossomed ever since. And then I think, Tony G, what you're speaking to, it's just even cooler. Like, I obviously wanted to meet you two, because through social media, there was such a... there's so much love that you guys share and then receive. And so I was like, oh, these people are like really great. They must be. But, you know, Trisha, meeting you, of course, is a pleasure. But Tony G, meeting you and like talking to you about mental health, and like you being in social work and like having this nonprofit and this organization and like doing the work that like genuinely is so valuable. I don't know. It was just, again, so serendipitous. Like, yeah. I can't believe it, but I love it.
Yeah. Thank you for those kind words. But that is where we hit it off.
Yes.
You know, it's like we have a lot in common, really. And we're just from two sides of the, you know, different sides of the world. It's just like crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We're in, it's like you said, it's a beautiful story. And we're so grateful to meeting you and your wife,
Stephanie.
And, yeah. And for you guys just to fly out here like that, you know. And
you guys, we're looking forward to the next visit.
I think we're going to go there, though, too. I really want to
come to Chicago.
Yes. Yeah,
I've always wanted to visit Chicago. I was talking about that.
We got to take you to Wrigley Field.
Yep. I have to go visit Wrigley Field.
We're literally 2 miles north of Wrigley Field.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not just for Wrigley Field.
No.
Oh, I thought that was the reason.
No. We gotta come see how you two are living.
Yep.
We gotta see it.
True.
Meet your cat come babies and yeah.
Meet the cat. Yes. Get a feel.
So do you wanna touch on and again, you say what you wanna say and what you feel comfortable with, but you know, your family life growing up and how it was when you did tell your parents, or you know, that whole process, because you know, we share the story with Angels, like we kind of knew that she was maybe gay around her junior year in high school, but we really didn't know until
a college
when she went to Wazoo College
when we met that person.
Yeah, that person was that person was like in bed with her, you know, when we
were FaceTiming. I saw an extra body part and I was like, who's in bed with you?
Yeah. And then and then you know, that person's name can also be a male's name, so
yeah,
I thought it was a dude.
True.
Right? I thought, I was like, okay, so she's not gay, but then it turned out to be you know, so like, and she says like she never really she wasn't really comfortable telling us about it. She didn't want to put a label on it, is what she said, but you know, we would have of course not had an issue with it at all. But as a teen, you know, it's probably hard, and like you said, you don't really know. There's conflicting, you know, emotions and feelings, and
you're trying to work it out yourself, yeah, and then you know, to yeah.
So if you want to just share a little bit about that and your experience,
absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. Yeah, I'm. You know what? It's so interesting because I say I'm an open book, and I really mean it. I am, even with my own clients, because I'm literally working with people who are me. Like, I'm working with queer people, with people of color, right? And so
yeah.
I feel like it would be a disservice to not join and like be open about,
yeah.
Oh, hey, I actually like genuinely understand this thing that you're talking about.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm down. I love a good narrative. So I was, both my parents are, were born and raised in India. So, when my mom was 25 or 6, she was doing her residency in India, and my dad, you know, back in the day, they did like a male bride kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like you'd put my grandpa, my mom's, was it my dad? I think it might've been my dad's dad, like put like a advertisement or something in a paper.
Yeah,
And then like my mom like accessed it, and then they knew each other for 7 days and got married. So like it happened really quick. It was arranged. They didn't really know each other very well at all. And then they got pregnant with me and moved to the States. So I was born in Houston, but I was literally in my mom's belly on the way here from India. So I feel like some connection to my Indian roots, and also at the same time, there's a lot of like ways I've been Americanized socially, of course. But born in Houston, Texas, my mom had to redo her residency in the States because there was no reciprocity, which honestly just shows her commitment to being a doctor, because that seems terrible.
And I didn't know your mom was a doctor. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. She's in internal medicine,
okay.
Has her own practice in those suburbs in Chicago. Oh yeah, my mom's a badass.
Yeah, for real. She sounds like it.
You think you like me? Yeah, just you wait. She's like me times a billion.
Okay.
She's where I get it from.
Yes, yeah. Awesome.
She's where I get this energy from. Yeah, she's really great. So, but things weren't always that way, which I think is part of this narrative, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm accepted now, but the process to getting there was interesting. So then moved to Illinois after some time. And I think I think I remember the first time I came out, you know, I think I was 14. And I remember coming out in a very, like, resentful way. Like, me and my mom were, like, arguing about something, as teenagers and moms do.
Sure.
And then I was like, well, you know what? I'm bisexual, too. And then we had a moment because, of course, in the moment, I'm yelling that and she's jarred. So immediately, she was not happy. Mm-hmm. She was not... That wasn't congruent to the expectations of me,
right,
of who I should have been. Okay. I'm the eldest, quote unquote, daughter. I don't identify as a woman, but that's how I would be labeled.
Right.
I was, you know, the first kid, you know, in the family to, like, I don't know, there was just so much expected of me that I'm, you know, still trying to reframe. So when, sure, I came out as bisexual, mom was like, no, that can't happen, mm-hmm, kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it came from also, you know, now that I understand it more, a place of just discomfort and protection. Like, something I've learned now as an adult is that my mom reacted that way because she was scared of the unknown and scared how the world would treat me.
Sure. Absolutely. I get
which
that.
Which is heartbreaking, right? It is. It's like, yeah,
especially
her
as
only
a parent.
Form of protection. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, her only form of protection was to say, no, you can't be like that,
mm-hmm,
you know? So, of course, as a 14-year-old, I was beyond pissed.
Sure.
Because I'm like, I'm going to be who I want to be. And my mom's like, no,
yeah.
you're so, not actually.
Yeah, so even if I really, right, didn't want to, I'm now not going to because you told me no.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct. But you know what? I'm an Aries through and through. I'm a fire sign. I'm a rebel. And so I said, actually, fuck it. I'm going to be exactly who I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually pushed me to do the opposite, which I think the opposite was still very harmful in that, like, I was engaging in behaviors that were rebellious and were not safe for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the only access I had to, like, a different community. So they weren't queer people, but they were, like, older people and, like, kids who were, like, doing drugs or the cool kids or, like, you, yeah, know, not the ones who were getting the good grades, which was what was expected of me. So I felt a need to, like, be a part of a different community.
Mm-hmm.
And so at a very young age, at 14, 15, prior to, like, going to the hospital,
mm-hmm,
I was, like, hanging out with people in their 20s. Like, it was not great, but, mm-hmm, I felt like that was the only way I could be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of fast forward a little bit. Oh, and it's interesting because, like, my dad's not in the picture in my life currently too much, but he was around.
Okay.
Like, my parents were married. We lived in the same house. There's just a lot of, like, with my dad, there's, like, a lot of, I guess, trauma, abuse related to him,
sure,
to me and my brother. So I grew up with a younger brother who's 2.5 years younger than me. And basically my dad kind of utilized us to not like each other. So he would, like, say negative things about me to my brother Neil, and then say negative things about Neil to me. And so we grew up, like, not liking each other, but never knowing why, right? It was never clear. So I say this because I won't be really speaking of my brother or my dad too much because they don't have as much impact in my gender and sexuality story.
Sure, okay.
But that's kind of the context of them.
All right.
Okay.
But they're there. You know, they're there. They're,
yeah,
around.
Yeah.
But my mom definitely is the one I always wanted. I always wanted her to accept me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always strived for that because we were very close. Mm-hmm. And we are again.
Good.
Then I remember, I dated a lot of people. I think from, like, a need to feel, again, understood, you know. Also, like, my parents worked a lot. I was raised by, like, other people, like nannies and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm, I didn't really actually form that connection with my parents. Therefore, I kind of sought it out in other people.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense.
So I was just, Yeah, right? I was like, oh, I could use some of that parental energy. So I would hang out with a lot of friends, but I would also like integrate myself into other people's families too. Which I guess is how community gets formed. So it's not so weird in hindsight.
Right.
I was definitely taken care of in that regard. But yeah, I just remember coming out to my mom, and then it kind of never being a thing we talked about anymore. Because then things just escalated with my mental health. But then we kind of fast forward to, let's say, 18, 19.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And this is when I started dating that person. And my mom was like, why the hell are you going to the West Coast to see someone you met online?
Yeah.
I'm like, because I do what I want. Like, I'm still in that mentality.
Yeah.
She's like, clearly I can't control you. Like, do it, but I don't approve it. And of course, my mom was right. My mom was like, I have a bad vibe. And I'm like, okay, I guess. But of course, again, being 18, 19, I'm like, okay, I'm not listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
She's correct. So now I do listen to my mom a little bit more.
But sometimes, you know,
right on the nose.
Sometimes we have to, you know, live and learn, do it and learn by the mistakes. And, you know, that experience definitely taught you something. And, you know, I think it was, I mean, hindsight's 2020, but, you know.
Well, had you not had that experience, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. I mean,
so. Also true.
Something beautiful blossomed from that experience, you know.
Yes. So many beautiful things actually have blossomed from that. Because if I didn't have that experience, that person was my life. So I was in a lot of like toxic, emotionally abusive relationships. Mm-hmm. And this one was my last straw, like being cheated on several times over a very small span of time. And like, it impacted me so severely that after dating them, I broke up with them on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I love my birthday. So like to do that was really hard.
Sure.
And I told myself in that moment, I'm not going to date. Like, I'm done dating. I deserve better. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have met Steph 7 months later.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, again, things happen for a reason. And also like, it doesn't mean we have to experience a struggle to like live the lives that we live now, but it definitely has an influence. And so, yeah, mom was like, oh, I have some negative vibes. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm still going to go. And of course I got fucked over, which we all know.
Yeah.
We know all about that.
Yeah.
Basically take Angel's story and mine basically the same.
Yeah.
unfortunately. And so then I remember being like, okay, mom, I'm actually not bisexual. I'm a lesbian. Mm-hmm. So I'm like 19, 20. And mom's like, an Indian mom fashion was like, you don't know that until you're 25. Like, you don't know for sure.
She you put a specific sure date, on,
date
it, huh?
on it.
An
oh,
age.
You should have seen my 25th birthday. I mean, I was like, actually, I'm even more gay than you thought.
You're like, let's party.
Literally. I think at 25, that's when me and Steph got engaged. So like, I remember just being like in that moment at like 19, 20, being like, that's a very weird thing to say, but okay.
Yeah.
I, you know, sure, whatever. I don't think that's like how I actually responded. I was probably kind of upset, but I, you know, came out for a second time at that time. And then fast forward a couple years, my mom met Steph, and so funny because Steph becoming my mom's daughter has been such a parallel experience for me to explore my gender identity because I got to kind of get that label taken off of me, and it was put on to Steph, like being my daughter, having the feminine experience. Like, my mom took Steph shopping, like buys her shit. Like, and Steph loves it. Like, Steph loves it, right?
Of course.
And I'm sitting here and I'm like, wait. I don't have to be a part of it. Okay. Mom's getting her fix. My wife's getting her fix from each other. It's so good. But I mean, I was always right. Like, I, you know, quote unquote, was a tomboy as a kid, but I was always required to wear like female things. Mm-hmm. My mom basically could not adjust to my hair being cut for many years. Like, just very much was like, why don't you be more girly? And I was like, because I'm not one. But of course, I didn't say that.
Yet. Right, yeah. Right.
But then I found the language 2 years, 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute. There's a thing called being trans and non-binary and mm-hmm. gender expansive. Mm-hmm. Let me look into that. And that exploration happened right at the time when I graduated grad school mm-hmm. and started working at a queer-owned and queer run private practice. Mm-hmm. So I was seeing folks who were also experiencing similar things, which challenged me to actually explore it because I couldn't avoid it anymore. So I started exploring that. And I remember for 2 whole years with my therapist, with my wife, with everyone except for my mom, I was like, she's going to disown me. She's going to disown me if I tell her that I am not a woman. Like, mm-hmm. my identity feels so intertwined, or like my womanhood, I guess, mm-hmm. feels so intertwined with my mom's identity. And I was just like convincing myself that she would just like hate me, which is obviously like all the pressures of society and culture and what I knew. Mm-hmm. But then Christmas 2020 happened and I'm sitting at the dinner table with my brother, my mom and stuff. And we're talking about some really heavy things. And I was like, this seems familiar. Like when I was 14, I yelled I was bisexual. I'm like, ooh, I should just like add another heavy thing right now. Why not? Who will that hurt? Nobody, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of just told my mom, I said, well, mom, I guess I want you to know that like I'm not a woman. And she was like, okay. And I was like, okay, I don't know if she heard me. So I kept talking. I was like, yeah. So I like daughter doesn't work, like those feminine, like ma'am, girl, daughter, woman, lady, like those things aren't congruent with my identity. Like I'm non-binary, I like dressing more like masculine, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of engaging in this. And she was like, yeah, I knew that.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
The most anticlimactic
right.
thing from 2 years of building my right. anxiety.
Right.
Wow.
What a dissonance. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, that was that was a moment.
Sure.
Well, huge. I was kind of mad.
But did you
be mad at me?
But did you feel like something lifted up off you though because of the response, like the stress, yeah. like everything was like, even though you're like, wait, I didn't expect that, I expected like a fight or something, right?
This is like too easy. Yeah. This is too easy.
It felt too easy. Yeah. It felt too easy. But you know what, Trisha, to your point, I think like, yes, I felt the relief, mm-hmm. of course, being like, oh, I said this out loud and my mom has received the words. And I even asked her to be like, I even asked her to like kind of like say it back to me. I'm like, okay, what do you think I'm telling you? And okay. she's like, oh, you're not a woman. Like you're a guy, or like you're not a guy. You're like within. And I'm like, okay, she's kind of grasping on to what I'm saying, mm-hmm. Which is a great start. So I felt relief there. But I also at the same time, a child of immigrants, a child of trauma, like felt very skeptical. I was like, this could maybe turn on me. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just to sit with it deeper to like make her decision if she wants me to be her kid anymore. Like just like all this weird, sure. intrusive thought stuff. Mm-hmm. And honestly, she's been the best. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
It's wild. I mean, I never ever in my life thought I would be able to be who I am in my entirety around my family. And a month ago or a couple weeks ago, we had a family, like one of the first family parties post COVID. Mm-hmm. And that same day, I remember my mom calling me earlier and being like, hey, like you coming tonight? I'm like, oh yeah, but I really don't want to. And she was like, oh, like what's going on? And I was like, oh, well, like I'm really nervous about people like messing up my pronouns and like my gender. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, but people are trying. And I'm like, no, I know that, Mom. But like, and of course, I'm glad that I didn't get upset at that. And instead, I was clear. I was like, I totally get that. Mm-hmm. And it's like if someone continues to call you by the wrong name and you keep correcting them and they still get it wrong, it's mm-hmm. kind of frustrating.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And she immediately was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And I was like, yes, cool, great. And I asked her to be like my pronoun ally, which basically is someone who's around you within vicinity. And if someone misgenders you or messes up and doesn't correct themselves, immediately they kind of just say, oh, they, by the way. And then like you keep the conversation going.
Okay.
For the trans and or non-binary person, that is a hard thing to do. It's like expending your energy all the time to correct people. So when I asked her to do that, she's like, absolutely. And she did it. Like, wow. I was there and she corrected herself. She apparently, my childhood friend, her and her mom were there. And she told me that my mom and her mom practice all the time. And like, right? Like, genuinely wholesome and made me want to cry. Like, I was just like a mess in like the best way. Mm-hmm. Because my mom is finally seeing me and like referring to me as the person I am and loves me even more for it. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of like my, I don't know, it feels like such a growth point from when I was 14 and her being like, no, yeah, you can't do this, to, oh, I see my kid and I will be there for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, like, you know, she was like, I'm just scared for you. And I'm like, I know, I'm scared for me too, but I'd rather live a life, a shorter life being myself, being than a longer real life not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important, yeah, exactly, to feel that way, you know, about yourself. You want to be as authentic as you can be, or how you want to be, you know. That's very important, to live a life like that, because living a life, you know, a fake life is, I mean, that's just even going to be more burdensome on somebody, mm-hmm. I think. And you know, and I want to say shout out to your mom. Amazing. Yes. I love, I mean, wow, what is, because I know the cultural thing, you know, I come from Mexican background, and I mean, my, you know, to speak on and to be honest, my dad doesn't even speak to my little sister because she's gay. You know, he's a you know, what we call quote unquote old school Mexican guy, you know, man, yeah, who's just, you know, based on all these traditional things and doesn't really want to, you know, I mean, this is his daughter, for goodness sakes, you know, like.
I know,
And he just won't speak to her, you know, because of that. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking. And to talk,
she's,
you know, you.
She's really great.
Yeah, oh, man, amazing. But, you know.
I met her for like 30 minutes. Great person.
Yeah, no, she's awesome. Seriously, like the biggest hearted person I know, yes, for real, like, right, loves, right, everybody and just will help anybody at any time. But so, you know, you have your mom's support, but there's so many out there that don't, you know.
Yep.
What advice would you give to, you know, an individual in that predicament, in that place? Because I mean, you probably talk to many of them all the time, mm-hmm, and that are going, yeah, through that. And I do want this to be, you know, like an educational piece too, because you know, we got to get with the program. We got to get with, you know, it's just, we got to love everybody and just who, for who they are, you know. And I don't like using accept, because, you know, just love people.
What's to accept? Like,
exactly,
who,
like,
they are,
you know. Yeah, yeah, right. Like, I know you use that term a lot with your family and stuff, and that's how you felt, which is totally valid. But, you know, me speaking on my side is like, I don't like to use that term because, totally, I mean, just,
it sounds terrible. Like, if I were to say, I accept you, noob.
Yeah, like, okay. No, well, I mean,
you're right.
But people say it like that. And, oh, I, you know, I accept them. I accept that, you know, how they are. Well,
what do you mean how they are?
Yeah, like.
Right. What does that even mean?
Yeah, so it's just
explain,
like.
Explain yourself.
People do need to respect the pronouns and understand. And like when we met you, I think we slipped up a couple of times, but then we were like, you know, we talked to you about it. We asked questions, mm-hmm, and ask questions, like, but wanted to learn, you know, feel that want to learn, you know, and be educated on stuff.
And I always feel bad when I slip up and I'm like, fuck. And like Nick, or excuse me, Colton. See,
Colton.
There I go. Yeah. Colton would be like, it's okay. Like I know that you're sincere. You're trying. And it's so, mm-hmm. So it's hard on our part too, just because I don't want to offend you. I don't want to offend, you know, and make it seem like I don't care, because that's honestly not it. It's just
right.
I should be practicing.
Yeah, we have to program. Well, we have to reprogram. Condition. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Most definitely. But what would you say to an individual that didn't have the, you know, support like you? And I mean, they could reach out. There's places, right, where.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you can just share that a little bit about that, and that'd be cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally want to, but I really quickly want to touch on Trisha's point of like feeling bad, right? Like when other people feel bad for like misgendering. So for example, you know, Trisha with me, right? If you misgendered me and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, right? Like, of course it's okay. But I think something that I'm learning, and I'm also teaching my clients and their loved ones, is actually let's do it differently. Like if instead of apologizing, maybe saying thank you for correcting me, because I think apologizing and then the person being like, oh, it's okay, then
when requires it's not the okay
being hurt. Well that, but also the person being affected is then caretaking the person that messed up.
Sure.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes total sense.
Kind of like flip that script a little bit, because it's not a bad thing at all. Like Colton said, I believe that's their name.
Yes.
That like you are trying, and that is so clear. I mean, it's really amazing. And also language and things are evolving. Like you said, acceptance doesn't feel like the word anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think instead of apologizing, being like,
thank you.
Thanks for correcting me, or thanks for doing this. It can be helpful for both sides, honestly.
I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For everybody. Gratitude is great. I love gratitude and expressing it. It's so good.
For real.
But advice, support. Wow, that's a big question, Tony G. A lot of pressure.
No, yeah, you know, because I mean, we're in the field.
There's a lot.
Yeah, we're in the field of helping, and you know, those that are, you know, underrepresented and you know, underserved, and they're out there, and I just, you know, I got the heart of just wanting to reach out and help those who need help, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Because everybody should feel loved, everybody should feel included, and I'm just huge on that. Yeah. And you know, just you working in that field, you know, I was kind of seeing if maybe you had some type of advice for somebody that's struggling without, you know, not having the support from somebody that they love and respect, you know, like a parent per se.
Totally. Totally. I think there's a lot of ways to kind of answer this question, and I feel really pulled to answer it first with a more like therapeutic perspective.
Yeah, sure.
I'm kind of, like, my first response is, I think the first thing is that, like, I hear you. Like, if you're listening and you feel that you are not being understood and seen and supported, I see you, I understand you, and I support you, because we are all in this together, even if we feel so far apart. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important, that, like, no matter where we are, I am with you and within community with you. And I think, you know, going into that, something that I've really experienced with my own clients is we've been engaging in a lot of like childhood, like loving your inner child, like some inner child work, but also being playful in that same breath with ourselves. Because I think so frequently, a lot of queer and or trans and or LGBTQ plus folks don't actually experience the childhood in the ways that their childhood in the ways that they actually would have wanted to.
Right.
And so one of the first things I encourage is what are the things that we are doing day to day, or we're thinking about day to day and being like, nah, I'm too old to do that. No, you're not. You want a go-kart? You want to blow balloon, like bubbles? You want to blow balloons and like pop them for fun? Whatever.
Yeah.
Do it, right? I think like connecting back to the playful part of you will also connect you back to yourself and allow you to understand who you've always been in a way that other people just might not do, especially if you feel like that support is not there. I know that it takes a lot of like energy and effort to reach out to resources and therapists and reach out to community, and maybe starting also with yourself, like, who am I? How can I understand myself? So that's like step one, maybe.
Okay.
And then I also think about, in addition to that, gosh, it depends on location, accessibility, resources.
Yeah.
But I think if it doesn't have to be an adult, but like any person or space that has kind of like, you've kind of gravitated to. So for example, I wasn't working at this job in November, and I felt very gravitated towards it, even though I did not know why. I did not know why. I was like, oh, I'm going to apply to this job, but I don't need to leave my current job, but I just want to. And kind of leaning into your intuition, because that has allowed me to blossom into who I am and feel supported by people who actually care about me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Versus people that actually did not support me in the past. So I think like learning how to trust your gut and intuition. Also, there's amazing resources. I think one of my favorites is the Trevor Project. They're a 24-hour, 7 days a week text call crisis hotline for queer LGBTQ youth.
Okay, I'm so glad you mentioned. I was going to ask you if you knew any like 24/7 kind of crisis.
What is it called again?
It's called the Trevor Project.
Trevor Project. Okay.
Yes, they're incredible. They're so good. I generally, if I'm meeting clients who like have no support at all, those are one of the first places I point them to.
Okay.
In addition, I think in some ways we're really lucky in Chicago because there are some pretty prominent queer support places and centers.
Okay.
So here we have the Center on Halsted, we have Howard Brown, and like those are really great, but those are not accessible to everybody. So I think even like doing a quick Google search of like queer affirming spaces in your area and to see if there's any, just like, even if it's like a monthly drop-in support group or a virtual game day or like a queer volleyball team or like whatever, right? Like just kind of dabbling into, okay, are there people like me out here? And what are they doing? I want to join that. So being open to even beyond therapeutic spaces, maybe even being open to like sports and games and, I don't know, just like talking to anyone can be really helpful that like understands you.
I think that's the important piece of it. Somebody that understands you, because we can always say, I'm here to help, but if I don't really get where you're coming from or feel you, I guess I could say, how could I really help? You know what I mean? Other than just listening. I feel like it's a deeper connection because you can say, I know what you're going through. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It totally makes sense.
Sometimes listening though is just as important.
I know.
Right?
I agree. Yeah. Totally. Gee. Yeah. Yes.
And also, what I like to do is like fill my, you know, like my contact list, right, with resources and say, look, you know, I know that, you know, you're reaching out and I'm totally here. I'm listening, but I think that you can benefit from somebody at this place, or this is a great resource. Like, you know, reach out to them. And I mean, I could, you know, walk alongside you with, you know, through the process. But here's a great resource, you know, so it's always good to have. And I never knew about the Trevor Project, so I just looked
at it to your list.
Yeah, I am, and I just looked it up. Yeah. And so I'm going to definitely share. I don't want to keep you on long, you know, on too long, because I know you're working. We're off. And you probably have more. Yeah, we got to go pick up Malia anyway for our Friday play date.
We would love to have you and Steph on sometime too, if she wouldn't care and just.
Oh, she would love to. Steph's story is very different than mine, mm-hmm. and is also so relatable too. I also think I just appreciate you guys so much for like doing this and then bringing people on like me and your kids and like just these people that have more to offer, because I think so frequently, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, I sometimes get in these thought processes where I feel like I don't have anything to offer, which is obviously not true.
Right.
But I think that's like kind of reinforced in the world that we don't have much value, which is not true to anybody listening.
No.
We are so valuable. We are magical and we are beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Genuinely.
Right. Genuinely. But that's just our inner demons, right? Trying to knock us down. You know, trying
that's
to
right.
knock us down and trying to just be haters.
Punch them back.
Yeah. We got haters inside of us, man. We got to beat up every morning, every day to get out
beat
of bed.
Beat up them haters. That's right. Leave me alone with my breakfast.
For real. Like, I'm gonna do something today, man. Get off me, you know? Like,
right.
Leave me alone. Get out of my way. I'm going to go change this world. And,
and exactly right.
Yes. But everybody, you know, we all have those, everybody has their own inner issues and mm-hmm. but you got to fight through it and just go and be the best you can be and be the best you, and you know, just I like to say, don't be a dick. Right,
that is it. Hashtag don't be a dick.
Like,
have
I mean,
some empathy.
Yeah,
have some compassion.
Yeah.
And slow the fuck down.
Slow down. For real. It's like, not that serious, bro.
Right. Like, this shit's not... Chill out. It's fine.
You guys are giving me ideas for my little Etsy shop.
Oh, yeah. Trisha's going to open up a new business. Yeah.
Yes.
So, she's got some big things. And we'll be reaching out to you,
offline.
Off the mic for some ideas. We really want to get Trisha's excited. Trisha's excited about this new little business thing that she has going, so we'll tune you into it, catch you up on a later date and time off the mic. But I just want to say thank you so much. Like, this was amazing. You took time out of your day, your busy day, you're working, to be on the Tony G Show, and so many listeners. Well, I'm not gonna say like I have that millions of listeners, but like I do have listeners, you know, all East. I've said it before, East Coast, now in Chicago, Cali, and you know, Southern Cal, Northern Cal, and then of course up here. So,
listen, it's not about having a million. It's about, are we reaching one person?
Yes,
absolutely. Yep, I agree.
I strongly feel that way, and that's mm-hmm. how I come, you know, with that mindset. Someone's going to hear it. Someone's going to learn something, and it's going to make them a better person. Yes. So
that's the hope.
That's the hope. And you and those who want to come on here and share their story. This is what this platform is for. Like, let's all share our story. Let's all, you know, because our story is going to help somebody else. Yeah.
Yes. We're all a lot more similar than we allow ourselves to believe.
Oh yeah. I 100%. Mm-hmm. Truly believe that. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I'm gonna we're gonna go ahead and just tell you, hey, thank you again. And give Steph our love.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely be more in touch. And you have a great
much love to y'all.
Hey, one love. You have a great mm-hmm. rest of the day.
Thank you, Noop.
You too. Of course.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye bye. All right, y'all. So that was Nooperman. Just what a great story. Want to appreciate them for sharing. You know, just such a beautiful, beautiful story. Trials and tribulations, right? Through their life, and look where they're at now. You know, they made it through.
Yep.
Some really, really hard times. And I mean, it's just, that's sometimes life really throws you some curveballs, but you gotta really, really just fight through. Tomorrow's a different day, and you know, there's always like people you can call, people you can reach out to, hopefully. But I do want to speak on this Trevor project that Nooper brought light to us about. It's actually, you know, like Nooper said, 24/7. It's the trevorproject.org. Just look it up on the website. They have a hotline, 24/7, 1-866-488-7386. Or you can get online and chat. They got somebody 24/7 that you can chat with online. Wow. Via computer or phone, whatever. And then also they have a confidential text messaging with a Trevor counselor.
Okay.
Available 24/7, 365, which is the number you text to start the conversation or whatever, the texting thing. It is 678-678. I mean, that's simple.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they can offer additional resources. But man, what an amazing organization and what they're doing. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Nooper, so much for sharing that. So I can share it on my platform and get it out to our listeners.
Yes.
So that was amazing, babe. What are your feelings before we call this episode a wrap?
I am always interested in listening to someone else's story because I learn from it.
Yeah.
You don't think, unless you're in that position, you don't know what could happen or what couldn't happen. I don't know if that makes sense. I'm not. It was just, I'm wowed by mm-hmm. Noop's story.
Yeah,
I know that there are lots that we could still learn from them.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy that they were willing to share with us a little bit that they did share with us. And
absolutely.
I could sit all day and just listen. And
oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, for real. For real. Such a beautiful thing. So, I mean, we don't have to carry on. We're going to end it on this. Such a beautiful, amazing interview.
Absolutely.
So it's without further ado, we're going to just go ahead and end it with, you know, the words of wisdom here where it says, I say, and Morgan says, in my voice, let's listen together. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. One love.